Welcome to Bielsko-Biała. I'm going to take you on a tour of one of the most beautiful Polish cities. What do Poles associate the city's name with? Cartoon characters, a friendly piebald terrier dog named Rexio, or two young brothers, Bolek and Lolek, in English known as Lenny and Benny, and of course the Polish Fiat 126P, which was manufactured in the local car factory. I hope that after our tour, this list will be expanded to include magnificent local monuments and details of the city's very colorful history or interesting figures. So let's start our tour. Please leave the tourist information point. We are now in the Town Hall Square. To the left, in the center of the square, stands the imposing building of the City Hall. Let's come up to the main entrance. In 1951, this magnificent edifice became the seat of the municipality of Bielsko-Biała. After a few hundred years of independent existence, the neighboring cities of Bielsko and Biała were merged into one municipal organism. It does not, however, mean that the city hall was built only in the communist times. It was erected as the seat of the municipality of Biała at the end of the 19th century. Please now stand so as to have a good view of the whole building. The edifice was erected by the river which also bears the name of Biała, whose hum mixes with the city bustle. For centuries, this river separated not only two cities, but also Silesia and Lesser Poland. It used to be an interstate border. For a long time, the place where we are now standing was Poland, and on the opposite bank of the river lay the Kingdom of Bohemia, later the monarchy of the Austrian Habsburgs. After the partitions of the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, Biała belonged to Austrian Galicia and Bielsko to Austrian Silesia. Funding together with the municipal savings bank of such an impressive city hall speaks volumes of Biała's ambitions as a big industrial center, which the city became in the 19th century. Please bear in mind that at that time the city numbered less than 10,000 inhabitants. Architect Emanuel Rost Jr. modeled the building on elegant Renaissance architecture. Take a look at some distinctive features. The top of the facade is adorned with a statue of Irene, the Greek goddess of peace. She holds the cornucopia, or horn of plenty, and is accompanied by little Plutus, the god of wealth. Please take a closer look at the escutcheon above the goddess. It is decorated with an image of a bee, so hard-working and forethoughtful as the city dwellers. Let's go back towards the tourist information point, and then straight on towards the busy street. We are leaving the Town Hall Square, so it is worth saying a few words about the earliest history of this place. Before the erection of this hall, this place bore the name of the Swine Fair. At the marketplace, there were, among others, buildings of the fire brigade and of a big textile factory. In the first years of the last century, the marketplace had already taken on an elegant character. Dwellers were attracted here by the city's movie theater that no longer exists today. Soon, other impressive buildings, the most beautiful, can be seen in front of us. It was erected for the National Economy Bank in the interwar period when Biała and Bielsko already belonged to a restored Poland. Once you've reached the street, please press pause and cross it carefully. Then let's turn right. We are going along Księdza-Stojakowskiego Street. While strolling along it, we can hear the roar of car engines. In the past, walkers could hear the babble of the brook named Niewka. Where is it now? What happened to it? It's simple. It flows beneath the street. In the 16th century, at the confluence of the Niewka Brook and the Biała River, the first houses of the settlement, named Biała, were put up. The settlement was founded by a Schultheiss of the nearby royal village of Lipnik, which until the times of the partitions was the seat of the Starostwo, an old Polish administrative unit. Interesting, Lipnik did not come into bloom as Biała did, and in the course of time was absorbed by the latter. On the other hand, Biawa, like neighboring Bielsko, attracted people of many nationalities and religions. Poles, Germans, Jews, and Bohemians. They usually lived together in peace, shaping the European character and culture of the city. To the left, you are passing an historic bright building of the old Catholic school. Its distinctive broken mansard roof was willingly applied in the Baroque times, even in the late period. Originally, it was a residential building, whose host was, at the turn of the 18th and 19th centuries, Josef Pratoweber, a merchant and the mayor of Biała alike. You should be approaching the junction with Konfederatów Barskich Street. At the junction, we are going straight on. We are continuing the walk along Stojowskiego Street. If you look right to the other side of the street, you'll see a sales and service center whose walls are covered with corrugated iron. In the first half of the 20th century, a synagogue called Ahavas Torah, which means love of the Torah in Hebrew, stood in this place. Getting back, however, to the beginnings of Biała. Earlier, among its inhabitants, were Protestant craftsmen, who during the 30 Years' War and the ensuing Counter-Reformation had escaped from the lands under the Habsburgs' authority to benefit in Poland from the famous religious toleration, and they founded here, repaying with their skills. The most important were weavers, masters of manufacturing cloth, which was made from the wool of sheep grazing in the nearby mountains. As the time passed, Biała outstripped Liepnik. Eventually, in 1723, King Augustus II the Strong granted Biała town privileges. As a town, Biała was developing superbly. Unfortunately, we can't say that about the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth. In 1772, after the first partition of Poland, the town was seized by Austria, becoming part of the land called Galicia. You are now approaching the crossroads. Ahead, behind the trees, you can see church towers. To the left of the church, you'll make out a tall chimney above the industrial buildings. Please go to the square in front of the church. To get there, keep to the left side. Be careful on the pedestrian crossings. Ahead of you is the Square of Divine Providence, which owes its name to the church standing here. In the middle of the square, you can see a historic stone statue of John of Nepomuk. This medieval Bohemian priest was a martyr who gained in popularity both in the lands of the Habsburgs state and in the territory of Poland. His protection was called for at flood risk, which is why his statues were often put up on bridges, but also at road junctions. From this pedestal, the saint protected the crossing of the Nivka River. Interestingly, the date of its erection, which is 1782, has been preserved as well as an inscription in German, Lobet den Herrn in seinen Heiligen, which means praise the Lord in his saints. You're now approaching the church standing behind the trees to the left. Please stop in front of its facade. It was not coincidence that the church was built in this place. The first mayor of Biała, Baltazar Damok, a wealthy merchant, was to catch sight of a strange luminosity here. He memorialized the event with a wooden cross at which he miraculously escaped death at the hands of a Swedish soldier. So with gratitude to God, he funded a chapel, the first Catholic church in the town. Only before the first partition of Poland, the proper church was erected. It was accomplished by the Jesuits. Therefore, in the first years of its existence, its patron saint was Ignacy Loyola, the founder of their order. Please stop in front of the main entrance and have a closer look. The Church of Divine Providence is undoubtedly one of the most beautiful sacred buildings in Bielsko-Biała. One should, however, bear in mind that the original 18th century church was more modest than the one you are admiring now. That first church was half as tall and had shorter towers, Its decor and furnishings were modest. Stylistically, the church featured decorative Baroque architecture. After over 100 years, wealthy Biawa dwellers expanded the church. The towers reached the present-day height, becoming one of the landmarks of the town. I do encourage you to visit the interior of the church. A very fine pulpit in the shape of a golden boat is worth seeing. Before you leave the churchyard, please stand with your back to its exit. I'll draw your attention to the Nivka River, that is to say, the brook flowing to your right. If you look deeper at its bed, you'll see the place in which it flows into a tunnel, under Stoyakovsky Eagle Street, which half a century ago was covered with a reinforced concrete construction. Please return to the crossroads in the same way you came here. Let's stick for a moment to the church subject matter. Perhaps while standing at the church, you noticed numerous commemorative plaques hung on the facade of the church. One of them is dedicated to John Paul II. Bielsko-Biała prides itself on a special relationship with the Polish Pope. Maciej Wojtyła, Karol's grandfather, lived in Lipnik in Biała. The father of the future Pope, Karol Sr., was born in Lipnik. Besides, the Kaczorowska family, from whom his mother Emilia came, had ties with Biała. And in neighboring Bielsko, Edmund Wojtyła is remembered. Karol's elder brother was a doctor, but sadly only for a short time. During an epidemic of scarlet fever, he contracted it from a patient and died at the age of 26. You should now be approaching the pedestrian crossing. Please cross the street. Ahead of you there is a small, low, white building. Please follow along the building, keeping it to your right. Straight ahead you can see the townhouse with a distinctive decoration on the facade. It was erected at the beginning of the 20th century, when the secession art dominated. You'll soon get acquainted closer with this style. And now at the corner of the white building, please take a look right. There is an edifice with a rounded facade. Please go towards the street to the left of it. The street you'll be going along is named Szkolna Street, or School Street. In bygone days, it was called Cloth Street, because there were a lot of looms here. Starting from the beginning of the 19th century, production of cloth in Biała and in neighboring Bielsko was concentrated in small craft workshops. Only when the Industrial Revolution introduced mechanization, the workshops were replaced with factories. Local textiles were in demand in many countries in Europe and also in the Near East. And in the middle of the 19th century, the most important was the Near East market. Since its inception, Biała tried to compete with neighboring Bielsko, but it never matched it in terms of the number of industrial plants and wealth. Both of the cities became an important industrial center. It is worth mentioning here that at the beginning of the 20th century, the textile industry in Biała and Bielsko was the third largest in Austria-Hungary, and in interwar Poland, the city was the second largest after Wutz Textile Center. You'll soon reach the junction with the Jedenastego-Wistopada Street. Please turn left there. This is Jedenastego-Wistopada Street, an elegant promenade of the city. Go straight on. The street was laid out as early as the 18th century. Just after the incorporation of Biała into Austria, it became part of the so-called Kaiserchaussee, or Emperor's High Road, which linked Biała, at the western border of Galicia, with the capital of this province, Lemberg. Officially, that high road bore the name of the main Galician trade route. In a moment, you'll see an interesting thing. To the left, you'll be passing the townhouse number 64. Please take a look at the pavement inside the gate. You'll notice tracks of a narrow gauge railway here. Why are they here? Where do they come from? At the turn of the 19th century, there was an ironmonger's shop with a storeroom at the back. Iron goods are a bit heavy. I remind you that you are going straight on. Before World War II, Yedinostego Huistopada Street was teeming with life and attracted customers who liked luxury. Smart shops were run by Jewish, Austrian, German, and Polish merchants. Soon to the right, you should see a square. It's Plac Wolności, or Liberty Square in English. Please sit down on one of the benches so as to have Yedinostego Huistopada Street, by which you came here, and which leads further, to your left. The square was created when the earlier mentioned Emperor's High Road was laid out. It served as one of the marketplaces of Biała. Take a closer look at the surrounding buildings. At first, please take a look right. There are only two buildings separated by a street in the northern frontage of the square. The building to the right, with a steep roof and a painting decoration known from Italian as sgraffito, on the facade is the oldest object at the market square. It is about 200 years old, and for a long time it was the seat of the most important guild in town, the Guild of Clothmakers. The neighboring gray townhouse is a little younger. For a century and a half, it has continuously housed a post office. Now please look left. You have to make an effort to look over the entire elegant four-story building with a green roof and a green eagle in the upper part. This is the old Under the Black Eagle Hotel. An inn at the main street of Biała was created as early as the 18th century. The present-day building comes from the beginning of the last century. The construction of the hotel was financed by Arnold Gross, the owner of the Biała Alcohol Refinery and Liquor Factory. Do you remember the tall chimney of the factory close to the Church of Divine Providence? It was in this factory where Gross manufactured his very popular alcoholic beverages, including cumin and oak vodkas. They were served in the hotel restaurant. And there is one more interesting thing about the hotel. In 1938, in the hotel restaurant, taxi drivers from Biała recognized and captured Nikifor Maruszewski. Have you heard of him? Maruszewski was the most famous robber and murderer in interwar Poland. Soon he would end up on the gallows. Well, not a very nice story. It's time to go further on. Continue along Wegonostego Huistopada Street. Let me tell you more about the buildings standing along the promenade. You must have noticed that modest low housings dominate the built-up area. From time to time, there are more elegant buildings. Here, just ahead of you, an excellent example of this. To the right, on the corner of Liberty Square and Yedinostego Huistopada Street, stands an impressive multi-story building from the beginning of the 20th century. Opposite, on the other side of the street, one can find a one-story townhouse from the end of the 18th century. This latter one represents the so-called style of Emperor Joseph II. Where does the name come from? As you remember, in the second half of the 18th century, Biała found itself within the Austrian territory. Its ruler was Emperor Joseph II, who was famous for his enthusiasm for reforms. He ordered, among other things, to work out ready stencils for building, which were to be applied in all towns and cities of his vast empire. Because of fire protection, townhouses had to be made of brick or stone and of one story. Stylistically, they were to combine Baroque and Classicist features. Please, at the crossroads, turn right. You are leaving Yedinostego Huistopada Street. For some time, to see other architectural gems of Biała. To start with, the Evangelical Church of Martin Luther. Its tower will be well visible in a moment ahead of you, to the left. Since the inception of Biała, Lutherans played an important role in town. They were craftsmen, merchants, and later owners of factories, mayors. Despite this, they did not have their own church. The first parish in Biała was established only in the second half of the 18th century. Soon, this magnificent church was erected. The Church of Martin Luther is one of those, a few built by Protestants in the territory of Galicia. It was put up in the place of a cemetery. Interestingly, when it was constructed, it had a tower with a bell, which for a few decades on was forbidden in Austrian Silesia, but not in Galicia. You are now approaching Targova Street, at which the building of the church is visible. Please turn left and go straight on. You'll be passing the church to your right. Now you can have a closer look at it. This modest structure was built in the Classicist style, which was dominant at the end of the 18th century. The tower, topped with a fine helmet with a lantern, distinguishes itself from the solid form of the church. In the bright interior of the church, some interesting equipment from the 19th century has been preserved. A beautiful wooden altar with four huge columns and life-size statues of the four apostles evangelists captures sight. At first glance, they look as if they were carved from marble, but they are not. They are made of wood, and they were polished so well as to look like porcelain. And now, let me change the subject. Please take a look at the townhouses, which you are passing to the left. In a moment, at number 2, you should see the famous frogs of Biawa. Please stand so as to have a good view of this absolutely extraordinary townhouse, the house under the frogs. According to many specialists, it is the most beautiful example of secession architecture, not only in Bielsko-Biała, but in Poland in general. May I remind you that secession or Art Nouveau flourished at the turn of the 19th century. One of the centers of this style was not too distant, Vienna. Art Nouveau buildings are characterized by inter alia, unusual flora and faunal ornamentation. Please take a closer look at the facade of the townhouse. Over the gate, there are two frogs dressed in tails. One is playing the mandolin, while the other is holding a pipe and a glass, leaning against the barrel, probably the barrel of wine. The frog must have already drunk quite a lot, because at this address there was the winery of Rudolf Nowowski. In the rich decoration of the house, you can also see beetles walking on the wall, impressive door and window frames, stylized flowers, and even imitation of the timber framing construction. Emanuel Rost Jr., the designer of the townhouse, showed a great talent here, as he did in the case of the town hall. To the right of the building, there is a vast square. Please head to it. This is Wojska Polskiego Square, which means Polish Army Square. Please follow around the square so that you'll have the townhouses to your left. The house number 13, adjoining the house under the frogs, merits attention. It was also designed by Emanuel Rost Jr., who completed the order of another Nowowski's, this time Jan's. Here, Art Nouveau manifests itself, for instance, in door framing on the ground floor, or festoons at the height of the first floor. Please take a look at the square itself. It is the largest in Bielsko-Biała. It was laid out in the 18th century as the first marketplace of Biała. Already then a wooden town hall, the seat of the municipality was erected in its center, and close to it there was a town weighhouse. The marketplace was surrounded by small wooden houses of town dwellers. Over time, both the town hall and the weighhouse disappeared from the marketplace, and the modest houses were replaced with brick ones. You are approaching Jedenastego-Wistopada Street, which crosses the square. Please take a look to the corner building to your left. This is the pharmacy under the White Eagle, whose history goes back to the times of King Augustus II the Strong. From its inception at the beginning of the 18th century, Biała's pharmacy changed the place. Before World War I, it was here and it was taken over by the Gonscher family, who gave it the name under the White Eagle. In that day, it was the only Polish pharmacy in Biała. Facing this building, please have a look right at the one-story corner building with a bright facade. It is known as the Mansion of the Strigłowskis. This fine, elegant building was erected at the end of the 19th century for the entrepreneur Franciszek Strigłowski. Interestingly, the first representative of this family came to Biała from Tarnów. He was a butcher. Franciszek's ancestors made their fortunes in textiles and even owned one of the nearby castles. Now the mansion houses a library. Please stand facing the mansion. Then turn right and go straight on along the frontage of the market square. You'll be strolling along Jedenastego Wistopada Street. Ratuszowa Street runs to the left. It leads, among others, to the new town hall, which you have already seen. But let me draw your attention to the corner building ahead of you. This is the old town hall, out of which the mayor had moved to the impressive edifice on the Biała River, from where you started the walk. In the first half of the last century, the house of Juliusz Korn adjoined the old town hall. It was then regarded as one of the most beautiful in the city. No wonder, his designer was Juliusz's brother, Karol, the most outstanding architect of Biała. Unfortunately, a renovation from the communist times spoiled its charm. You are slowly approaching the corner of Wojska Polskiego Square. You'll be strolling along the final part of Jedenastego Wistopada Street. While strolling, you'll have more opportunities to take a closer look at the other examples of the buildings from the reign of Joseph II, of which the biggest concentration can be found just here. I'll also tell you about the more recent history of the Bi City and its dwellers. I said Bi City because already in the 19th century, despite a formal separation, Bielsko and Biała were treated as one city. Bielsko was more populous and wealthier. Biała always wanted to match the neighbor. At the beginning of the 19th century, economic growth accelerated rapidly on both sides of the river. New textile machines were brought to both cities. Soon, new textile factories came into operation. Interestingly, the Napoleonic Wars favored the development of both cities, which procured huge orders for the local entrepreneurs. The great advantage of the local industry was its diversity. The residents of Bielsko and Biała did not limit themselves only to the textile industry. From the middle of the 19th century on, food, machine building, woodworking, and papermaking industries, and many others also flourished in both cities. The effect was apparent wealth of the local residents, which was reflected in the appearance of Bielsko and Biała. To the right, in front of the crossroads, you can see a fine, modest townhouse with the date of its construction, 1783, placed above the main entrance. A century passed, and the city dwellers could afford to build something more spectacular. Take a look left, opposite the small gray townhouse at number 18. It belonged to the Landau brothers. Please take notice of the waving line of the roof or slightly rounded corners. These are typical features of Art Nouveau. Ahead of you, there is the junction with Wukowa Street. Cross it and go straight on towards the more and more visible bridge on the Biała River. Landau, Rost, Gross, Korn, Nachowski. The names often referred to during the walk tell about the international character of the Bi City. It is worthwhile remembering that at the beginning of the last century, the German language dominated on the streets of both cities, which was not only spoken by the Germans, who were the majority in the both cities, but also by the Jews and the Poles. To the left, we can see a fountain and a small statue of a dog. Please stop by it, and I'll finish the story. In the interbellum, when the cities became part of Poland, the ethnic situation began to change. There were still more Germans in Bielsko, but in Biała, they were already a minority. The Germans and Jews owned most of the industrial plants. The unethnic, Polish face of the present-day city is the result of World War II. After a rather difficult historical discourse, time for some relaxation. Probably it isn't necessary to introduce to Polish visitors this doggy standing close to you on two legs. It's Rexio, of course, the main character of the popular cartoon created and produced by the local animated film studio. The studio in Bielsko has created many cult characters, including two scamps, Bolek and Lolek, also known in Britain as Lenny and Benny, and their girl companion Tola. Artists from Bielsko-Biała have co-created the history of Polish animation since the 40s of the last century. I urge everyone, regardless of age, to visit the studio, which is located on Czyczynska Street in Bielsko, not far from the route of your stroll. As I'm talking about Bielsko, please now take a look at the elegant tall townhouse on the opposite side of the river. It is the first object that welcomes you in this part of the city. And first off, it is a building of high class. This townhouse was built at the end of the 19th century. Such architectural details as a bay window, columns, and a dome on the roof prove that the designer modeled it on the Baroque buildings. It is worth mentioning his name once again, because he had left his stamp on the appearance of Bielsko-Biała. It was Carol Korn, whose work can be seen in the most important places of the city, as well as in Silesia and the former province of Galicia. Dear ladies and gentlemen, in this place, our tour of Biała has come to an end. Thank you for the joining tour, which has been created thanks to the Silesian Tourist Information System and co-funded from the Regional Operational Program for the Silesian Voivodeship for 2007 to 2013. I also encourage you to learn more on your own about the charming sights of this unusual city. I assure you, there are still a few long tours worth going on. Please remember to turn the audio guide set. Thank you for the time we spent together, and I wish you an enjoyable stay in the city.